Let's turn together again in the book of John to John chapter 16. We'll also be reading in the back of our Psalter hymnals from Lord's Day 20. But first, our text comes to us from John chapter 16. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles, John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. John chapter 16, starting a reading then at verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. And particularly this emphasis on the working of the Holy Spirit in our passage says here that He's going to take from the Son and bring it to the people, and the Son received from the Father. So we see this unity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit bringing truth and wisdom to His people. So then let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 20. Lord's Day 20, question and answer 53. That's page 27, in the back of our Psalter hymnals. Question and answer 53 says, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, first, He as well as the Father and the Son is eternal God. And second, He has been given to me personally, so that by true faith He makes me share in Christ and all His blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, over the past few weeks we have been considering the various works and offices as well as the humiliation and exaltation of Jesus Christ our Lord. We have seen that He is our prophet, our priest, and our king, that He suffered, that He was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, that His life was a descent into hell, that Christ suffered hellish agony on the cross, but also earlier. But we also saw His being raised from the dead, that He showed Himself, proving Himself to be alive and convincing many people that He had indeed been raised from the dead, and then He ascended into heaven, and now He sits at the right hand of His Father, from where He will come back to judge the living and the dead. Well, now we continue our consideration through the Apostles' Creed, moving into the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and specifically the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. Over the next few weeks, we are going to see that the Holy Spirit is a principal worker in the gathering together of the church. If you remember the definition of the Holy Catholic Church, the universal church, is that Christ gathers, protects, and preserves His people. But how? How does Christ gather, protect, and preserve His people? It's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit that Christ gathers, protects, and preserves. The fact is in the churches today, there is much confusion about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some churches overemphasize the Spirit to the neglect of the other persons of the Trinity, while the other extreme is that some churches all but neglect the Holy Spirit and have little, if any, place for teaching on this third person of the Trinity. So it's important for us to know, in order to avoid confusion, but also to rightly see the glorious work of the Spirit, because as we look at the glorious work of the Spirit, we are reminded of the glorious One who sent the Spirit. Just as the Son dedicated Himself to bringing glory to His Father, taking everything that the Father had and giving it to His people, so we see with the Holy Spirit that His ministry is to bring glory to the Son. That the Spirit is dedicated to bringing glory and honor and praise to the Son and taking what the Son did and what the Son said and applying it, ministering it to God's people. So today we are going to consider that not only do we confess that there is a Holy Spirit, we confess that we believe in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is worthy of our praise, our adoration, that in bringing glory to the Spirit, we are bringing glory to God. We consider this theme, God the Holy Spirit applies the works of Christ to his people. We see 2 points. First, who the Spirit is, and second, what he does. Now, we begin by considering who the Holy Spirit is and how he is revealed to us in Scripture. The Holy Spirit was active already at creation. If children, you remember that creation passage in the first chapters of Genesis, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the water, or the Spirit was brooding over the face of the deep. And with this presence of the Holy Spirit, we find that as the Spirit comes, there is order given to this world, as well as beauty and life. That as the Spirit comes, so this formless, chaotic world is given form and order and beauty and light and life. And then we have this creation of man. Man was made out of the dust of the earth. God took some mud and formed it into the form of Adam. And then God breathed, he spirited, he vivicated, he brought life to his son, to Adam, by putting his spirit within him, making him a living being. It's through the operation of the Spirit that Adam became a soul-bearing creature. So we find that the Spirit was active at creation, but the work of the Spirit was not finished when creation was finished. No, we find that the Holy Spirit continues to perform a great work, and we'll look at that more in depth in our second point. So first then, who is the Holy Spirit? Should we speak of the Spirit as a power, as something like electricity or water that God sends that flows here and there? Or is it necessary, is it really all that important for us to talk about the Holy Spirit as a he, as a person who is one with the Father and the Son, who is equal to the Father and the Son? Well, as many of you may know, one of the passages that proves the divinity and personhood of the Holy Spirit is found in Acts chapter 5, verse 4. Acts chapter 5, we have this exchange between Ananias and Sapphira and Peter. And as Ananias and Sapphira come and perform this scheme to deceive not only Peter, but the early church, Peter says to both Ananias and Sapphira, what is this wickedness that has been conceived, concocted in your hearts? That you would lie not only to me, not only to the church, but you would lie to the Spirit. And then he says in 5 verse 4, you have lied to God. Lying to the Spirit, deceiving, trying to deceive the Spirit is the same as lying to God. We find more of this in John chapter 14, our text, John 14 verse 26, where the Holy Spirit is called the Helper, the one who brings help. The Holy Spirit is not help as an object, he is the Helper. He is the Comforter, he is the Teacher, who guides, leads, directs, and comforts. We have Jesus Christ, who is our teacher at the right hand of the Father. We have Jesus Christ, who is the comforter at the right hand of the Father. But we also have the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher and comforter who dwells in our very heart, making us temples of the living God. How could we be temples of the living God if the Holy Spirit was not really God? We find another proof in Matthew chapter 28 and 2 Corinthians 13, where we find this list. Matthew 28 is that baptismal form, which, Lord willing, we'll hear next week. This going out and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the singular name of God, the singular name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And again, in 2 Corinthians 13, you have that benediction, that parting blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So the focus we begin with is that the Holy Spirit must be seen as the third person of the Trinity, but that does not diminish the fact that he is equal to the Father and the Son. And together with the Father and the Son must be worshiped and glorified, that he deserves our praise because he is God. He is also so connected, so united to the Father and the Son that we cannot have the Father and the Son unless we have the Spirit. To put this another way, if we want to know Jesus better, if we want to bring glory to our Father in heaven, then it becomes necessary for us to have the Spirit. Because the only way that we can approach, the only way that we can come to the Son, the only way that we can know the Son is through the work, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So there is a unity within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there is also a uniqueness with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Our passage in John chapter 14, verse 16 says that the Holy Spirit will be promised and sent by the Father. But then in chapter 16, we find that the Spirit is the helper sent from the Son. So we have the Father sending the Spirit, and we have the Son sending the Spirit. That's why we confess that he proceeds or he comes forth from the Father and the Son. The Spirit is sent on behalf of the Father and the Son to be a gift, to be a blessing to the church, and to bring the church to God, to know him, to worship him, and to praise him. So the work of God, the work of God as a whole, if we look at the big picture, it's not complete until we acknowledge, until we have the blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, we would never know the Son. Without the Holy Spirit, we could never approach the Father. Without the Holy Spirit, we could not be saved. That's how vital the Holy Spirit is. So as we confess, question answer 53, the Holy Spirit, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. But what does he do? Since it is true that the Holy Spirit is a person, we refer to him as a he, a divine person who works, who has a calling. But what does he do? Well, one of the most challenging things in being in education, one of the most challenging things in learning a subject is forgetfulness. I imagine that if I were to ask you, what is one of the most challenging things with learning something, it's forgetfulness. Something which you once knew, you don't know anymore. I know that I had a wise man once say to me that, Nick, I've forgotten more than you'll ever know. Forgetfulness is it's a real enemy of wisdom, isn't it? That we used to know something, that we once had something in our mind, but now it's lost, it's gone. Well, now we are going to see, and as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit, that he brings to mind, he brings to remembrance all the things that Christ has said and done. Our passage says this in John chapter 14, where we just read a few minutes ago. John chapter 14, where Jesus is talking about the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. This is verse 25, that he is going to send in my, this, the Father is going to send the Spirit. This is verse 26, and he will teach you all the things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. So the function here of the Holy Spirit is that he's going to bring to mind. He's going to bring to remembrance. He's going to remind us of everything that Jesus Christ has said and done. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Our passage says that the Holy Spirit causes us to remember the Word, to remember the Son, to remember all that He said and He did. Remember that the Spirit is called the Comforter. How do you think the Spirit comforts us? How does the Spirit comfort us? Well, if you have a family member who is going through a difficult time, or you yourself are faced with the loss of a loved one, or you're going through a particular spiritual challenge that someone is berating you or persecuting you, how does the Holy Spirit give comfort to us? Can we nail it down to saying this is specifically how the Spirit comforts us? Well, one of the chief ways that the Holy Spirit comforts us when we go through difficult times is He causes us to remember God's Word. So when you go and visit someone, when you go and want to bring comfort to someone who's going through a difficult and trying time, and you open the Bible and you bring God's Word to them, and then they remember what they have read in God's Word, and they find comfort and peace, that is a work of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you've experienced that yourself. You're going through this difficult time, and all of a sudden, something you memorized when you were a child comes into your mind. Is that just random? Why does that happen? That is a testament to the Holy Spirit causing us to remember. We are reminded of all that Christ said and did, and our hearts, our souls are comforted. That is one of the blessed things that the Holy Spirit does. But He does more. The Holy Spirit, as our answer says, causes us to share in Christ and all His blessings. He causes us to share in the blessings of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that prepares us, that ordains us, that equips us, that beautifies us as God's people. In our catechism class earlier today, we were talking about sanctification. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit sanctifies us. He purifies us. Some of the imagery we have for the work of the Holy Spirit is that He is a fire, a purifying fire, which burns the dross, burns the corrupted, corroded parts of us, so that we begin to shine forth brilliantly like gold and silver that has had all the impurities and infirmities removed. That's a work of the Spirit. Perhaps some of you older saints here today can testify to this fact. You look back on your life and you see how the Spirit has sanctified you consistently over the years so that those sins of your youth no longer plague, no longer tempt you, have been put to death. That is a work of the Spirit. That is what the Spirit is doing in the church. The Spirit gives us understanding, so that when we read the Bible, it makes sense. So that when we listen to the Word, our ears, our minds, our hearts are stirred. You see, without the Holy Spirit, not only could I as a pastor be unable to preach, you as a congregation would be unable to hear. You would be just like the Old Testament, just like those hard hearts of the Scribes and Pharisees. Hearing, they did not hear. Seeing, they did not see. It is a gift of the Spirit that sitting here today, you can understand that this is what God is doing. And it makes sense. And our hearts are pierced. So the Spirit is that fire. He is also a guide, that light upon our path to lead us into all truth. The Spirit is also compared to a refreshing rain, that dew which nourishes the earth. The imagery is that our hearts are like hard clods. I remember growing up on the farm, sometimes after a dry summer, the dirt becomes, it's almost like rocks. And then you have the refreshing rain, and that dirt becomes soft. And if you plant seed into that hard clod soil, what happens? Nothing. But with a refreshing rain, that seed springs forth and produces life. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit produces new life in our hearts. How are we born again? You know how we are born again? Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you cannot be saved. How can we be born again? Nicodemus asked, do I need to enter into my mother's womb again? How can me, a grown man, be born again? Well, Nicodemus, you can't do it. You cannot cause yourself to be. Did you have a choice about your birth? Did you have an active role in your conception and birth? It's something that happens to you. You're the byproduct. Life is the byproduct. So it is with our new birth. When the Holy Spirit works in us, we enjoy the benefits of life, but we cannot cause ourselves to be born again. It is a function, that is a work of the Holy Spirit. Our catechism class this morning, too, is talking about irresistible grace, that we cannot stop the Spirit. If we are elect, if we are chosen by the Father, then we will respond with faith because God sends His Spirit to work in the hearts of His people. So the Holy Spirit is that refreshing water that brings life to our hearts. The Holy Spirit also anoints us. The Holy Spirit anoints us. We confess that as Christians, we are anointed to be prophets, priests, and kings. But how are we equipped? How can you and I be equipped to be Christians? How can we be faithful prophets that speak the truth, that know the truth? How can we be faithful priests that offer our lives as a sacrifice of praise? How can we, as kings, fight against sin and resist temptation and one day rule and reign with Christ? How can we do these things unless we are anointed and equipped by the Spirit to do that which we are called to do? And finally, one more thing. Christ, by the Spirit, protects us. Christ, by the Spirit, protects us. One of the blessings we enjoy as God's people is that the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts protects us. This morning we talked about this man being filled with an evil spirit. Well, how could a person be filled with an evil spirit? Well, the only way a person can be filled with the Holy Spirit is if the house in his heart is empty. Did you know that if you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, you cannot be filled with an evil spirit? Because the Holy Spirit resides there. The Holy Spirit protects us from the evil one. We say that all the time. We sing that song. He who is living in me is greater than he who is living in the world. Perhaps, children, you've sung that song. The one living in me is greater than he who is living in the world. Do you know what that is talking about? The one living in me is the Holy Spirit, and he is greater than the devil, the prince of darkness who lives in this world. What a comfort we have as God's people, that Christ went to heaven and from the right hand of his Father gives his Spirit to protect and preserve and defend and sanctify his people. The imagery from Ephesians chapter 5 is of Christ who purifies, sanctifies, renews, beautifies his bride. Christ prepares his bride for the wedding day. Do you know how Christ prepares his bride for the wedding day? By his Spirit. The fact is the church enjoys the beautification process of the Spirit as the Spirit gets us ready for that great day. Right now, the Spirit is working in our hearts and in our church, because not only has he been given to our church, he has been given to us personally. We have this two-sided benefit. A few weeks ago, we talked about the benefits of the church. That was from Ephesians 4. We talked about the blessings of having fellow members in the church, of having the opportunity to have office bearers within the church, that these were gifts from Christ, and that these, our fellow members and the office bearers, are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a gift of Christ that he uses to get the bride, to get the church ready for the wedding day, so that she would be ready for that great wedding feast. So the Holy Spirit works in us personally, and he also works in the church as a whole. As 1 Peter 2 verse 5 says, we are a body being built together like a spiritual stones into a spiritual house. As a church, as a communion of saints, the Holy Spirit is working, is chiseling each block so that it's perfectly square and fits into the building of Christ's church. Sometimes being chiseled is painful. You can think of a stone that is quarried. Right? When a stone is quarried, its rough edges are cut off or sewn off, are sawn off or chiseled, are chipped away so that it fits, so that it's a perfect square and fits the spot where it needs to go. That's what Christ does by his Spirit. That sanctification is a chiseling and a chipping away of our sins so that at the appointed time we can be inserted into the spiritual house and fit and find residence and dwell with our Lord for all eternity. So the work of the Spirit, the blessings of the Spirit, are far-reaching. Have you ever opened a present, and after opening the present, you lift out the first thing? I was just thinking of something I saw a few years ago. This child had a present. It was a bag, and to pull that paper off the top and pulled out a set of pants. And you look at these pants, and, oh, okay, these are nice. Thanks for the pants, Grandma. And then Grandma says, look deeper. He looks inside. Oh, there's something more. And he reaches in. He grabs out a box of Legos or whatever it is. And then Grandma says, look inside again. Looks inside. Oh, there's even something. And it's like you keep digging out all these wonderful. That's what receiving the Holy Spirit is like. Right? The deeper you dig in the work and the ministry of the Spirit, wow, look at this. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit causes us to know the Bible, to understand the Bible, to remember the Bible, to comfort each other. That's what the Spirit does. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit prepares us for the wedding day. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit sanctifies us, puts to death our sin. What does the Spirit do? Give us new life within, cause us to be born again, regenerated. When the further we deep, the deeper we go, the more blessings, the greater benefits we find, and the great gift of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us as a church and given to you personally. So we should be filled with gratitude. We should be filled with thanks. Jesus said, it was better, it's for our good that he go to heaven. Why? Because in heaven he is preparing a place for us, and from heaven he sends his Spirit, which is the gift that just keeps getting better. The gift of his presence. So we have a teacher within and a teacher at the right hand of the Father. We have a comforter within and a comforter at the right hand of the Father. We have one who prays for us in heaven and one who intercedes and equips us so that we can pray. The final benefit I'm going to mention tonight is the gift of the Spirit, which puts into words the groanings of our heart. The Spirit enables us to pray. Without the Spirit, we couldn't pray. But even when we can't find the words to pray, the Spirit in our heart is praying for us, crying out to the Father in the name of the Son to equip, to strengthen, to nourish, and to build his people. To conclude, we have just begun to consider the blessed gifts of the Holy Spirit. And over the next few weeks, as we continue our consideration of the catechism here, Lord's Day 21 talks about the gathering of the church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body. Almost every single week, we're going to find the Spirit mentioned again, because this is another gift that the Spirit is giving, that Christ uses the Spirit to nurture, equip, gather, protect, and sanctify his people. So as we conclude, remember that the Spirit is a person, that he is to be praised, that he is worthy of worship, and that the Spirit's ministry, his function, is to bring us back to the Son. The Spirit is always bringing us back to the Son, bringing us back to his word, bringing us back to his work, so that as the Spirit fills our heart, we worship the Son, we praise the Son more. And in praising the Son, we praise the one who sent the Son, so that God would be all in all, and we would be filled with praise for our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gracious gift that you, along with your Son, have sent your Spirit to dwell in our hearts. May we be filled with thankfulness for the great gift of the Spirit. May we not neglect to praise your Spirit. And in praising your Spirit, give praise to your Son and to you, our Father. By your Spirit, help us to know you better, to love your word more. By your Spirit, sanctify us in your truth, for your word is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.